Hey everyone, before we get into today's episode, I just want to give a shout out to today's sponsor. Yes, we are sponsored.
Woo.
Which is Sawyer Products. We're going to talk about the Sawyer Squeeze. Chance, what did you use on the PCT?
The Sawyer Squeeze, obviously.
Oh, and why did you use it?
It was fast, it was light, didn't have to worry about a whole lot, and it got the job done.
Did you know that the Sawyer Squeeze has a lifetime warranty, and the Mini is rated up to 100,000 gallons?
I did not, but did you know that their filters remove 99.999999% of bacteria?
Wait, how many nines is that?
99.9999% of protozoa and cysts.
I think that's at least five or six nines, which seems like a lot of nines if
that's
you ask me.
That's a lot of nines.
It's more nines than I would have guessed.
Find me a filter that filters out more nines than that. And if you divide nine by three, you can find out that all of their filters are tested three times before leaving their facility.
It's a fun fact.
Yeah.
So if you want to check out the Sawyer Squeeze, go to Sawyer.com, or you can find it at your local outfitter or REI or Backcountry. Let's get into the show. Welcome to Backpacker Radio, episode number 10. We did it, Chance. Double digits.
Is this 10?
We're at 10.
Oh my God.
I think we're at 10.
Wow, congrats.
Counting has never been one of my strong suits in life, but I'm pretty sure it comes after 9, which is the one that we just recorded.
No, you're right. It is.
So we'll get the scientists on that just to fact check that 10 is in fact after 9.
And before 11.
One thing at a time.
Okay.
Yeah,
but step one.
I have a lot of talking to do. I can't math at the same time.
Right. No, I shouldn't expect that of you.
I am your co-host, Zach Badger Davis, and I am joined by my other co-host to my left.
Words are hard. Hi, I'm Juliana Chauncey.
You have to give us your trail name, too.
Oh, a.k.a. Chaunce.
Thank you. That's really all that matters.
The Y was too heavy, so I dropped it because I'm ultralight.
You do actually really like that joke. You confided that earlier.
I don't confide anything in Zach. Don't believe him.
Chaunce. I have a question for you.
Ooh, okay. I have an answer.
Do you remember what you did or what was going through your mind the day before you left for the PCT?
Oh, that was a day.
Interesting.
Yeah, I had put off everything until last minute, so none of my resupply boxes were actually done. And so the basement was a disaster. It basically was like a sweatshop of food. And it wasn't until like an hour before I left for the airport that I actually even packed my pack. So it was just like a very fast moving, long, stressful day.
Did you procrastinate everything just because that's your nature, or you didn't want to confront the reality that you were taking off, or you were too busy?
It's just who I am.
That's who you are. Yeah. You procrastinate.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I could do it tomorrow.
We are both professional crenators because...
What crenator are you?
A procrastinator.
Oh, okay.
That was my dad joke.
I thought there was going to be like a different beginning to it.
I enjoyed it. Yeah. Our host, our guest got that one. But anyways.
It's a pity laugh.
I remember.
Zach, what did you do the night before your AT hike in 2011?
I talk about that in another episode, so I'm going to not go there. In the most recent Trail Correspondent episode, number 3.
Oh, I didn't listen to that one.
Well, you're our worst fan.
It gives me FOMO when I'm at my desk and I hear it. I just want to go on trail.
Well, you should go on the trail.
Yeah. Okay. Bye. Find a new co-host.
But I would like to talk about the day before I left for the PCT, which was last year. Excuse me.
Nice.
I'm keeping that in. It was, believe it or not, I think I was every bit as anxious, potentially even more anxious than I was leaving for the AT, which I hiked in 2011, take a drink.
Wait, you hiked the AT?
I did. I sure did.
What?
I would say there's two reasons for it. I'll start with probably the smaller reason, which was it had been 6 years between through hikes. I had given myself a very strict goal of how quickly I wanted to hike it, 100 days. But I think above and beyond all, it was challenging because I was in a serious relationship at the time. And
yeah, you were engaged.
Yeah. Still am.
Were, like, as in you were, but you still are.
I still am.
Just to clarify.
Yeah. I keep pushing it off because, you know, hiking and taxes and everything.
I bet Jenna loves that.
No, I'm just kidding. We're getting married soon and you are all invited.
Excellent.
But, you know, after coming back from the AT, I just remembered how different of a person I was than before I started the trail. And I, if I'm being honest with myself, I was concerned that I would view my relationship through another lens, because it's a very common story for people to leave for a through hike and then in the midst of that, decide that their current partner is not the right person for them.
Yeah, that'd be a bad day.
Yeah. And I would be lying if I said I didn't have a modicum of fear that that was not going to happen to me. Fortunately, it didn't happen. If anything, I think our relationship got stronger from it. But leaving for the PCT definitely felt like I was rolling those dice a little bit. And that's not even something I've told Jenna. So luckily, she doesn't listen to these. Oh, so good. I don't think she'll ever know.
Like a truly supportive fiance.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she hears me talk enough. I don't blame her.
Yeah, I wouldn't want you this close to my ears.
No. She listens to every other podcast that's not me, specifically because I'm not on it.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a great logic.
But that is an apropos question, because today's guest, Ballflap, is leaving for the AT tomorrow.
April 26th is the day I start.
He's leaving Denver tomorrow.
He's beginning the journey to the AT tomorrow, mm-hmm. which is the, you know, beginning of a new chapter.
Beginning of a new chapter, of course.
So Ballflap, if you wouldn't mind, give us, you know, your background and your hiking resume.
Hi, my name is Ballflap.
Hi, Ballflap.
But I guess I'm from Arkansas. And before the PCT, I hadn't really done like any major through hikes or anything like that. Like, I was a Boy Scout, an Eagle Scout, and everything. So, and my first real exposure to hiking was the summer of my senior year, when I decided to work for this Boy Scout camp called Camp Orr, and I was a trekking guide. So I'd lead either 100-mile kayaking trips or 50-mile hiking trips. And so I got really into hiking after that. And then, of course, went off to college. And then after graduating college, you know, was sitting down with a buddy one day and trying to figure out what I was going to do. And the PCT just seemed like a pretty good option. So
how did the PCT get on your radar specifically?
Well, it actually wasn't really even at all when I'd graduated and I hadn't really gotten a serious job. So I was bartending and living on a buddy's couch, actually Gilligan's couch, which someone I hiked with and finished the trail with. But we were just kind of hanging out, and I was telling him that there was a couple things that I wanted to do before I started like getting serious and looking for real jobs. And one of them was to move to California for a little bit or move overseas for a little bit. And so just kind of looking out in California and what I was going to do there, and saw the PCT and, you know, was an Eagle Scout, decided like knew I liked hiking and decided to do that.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you did the PCT last year. Taking off for the AT here in a couple minutes.
For the AT.
Why the AT?
Well, to be honest, it was kind of like a snap decision. It was either the CDT or the AT this year. I've been living in Vail since November, so I was kind of not really sure what I was going to do next. And in March, just decided, you know what, like I want to keep through hiking, and now's the time to keep through hiking. Like, I just got off the season, like snowboarding every day, working at 10,000 feet. This is like a really good time, and the AT seems like a lot of fun. Really social from what I hear. I don't know that much about AT. I haven't really actually researched a lot of it because I didn't for the PCT, and it was really nice to like just come up on everything and say like, whoa, like I didn't know about that at all.
Yeah.
So I haven't really done a ton of research on it.
If you enjoyed the social aspect of the Pacific Crest Trail, you will like the AT, I would venture to guess. And you're also wise to wait a little bit later in the season, because I'm sure if you're tracking through hikers this year online, you'll see that most people have been on the trail for a month or more. This year has been brutal in terms of the weather. People have just been getting punched in the face.
It seems that every year, I guess there's only been one year, but I just bring snow. I don't get it.
This year has been, at least, you know, in my just rough observation, it seems to be much more consistently tough. Like,
really?
In years past, you'll get the one-off random snowstorm. This year has just been one after another, and it seems like it's been much colder and just wetter. But you know, you're leaving much later in the season, so I think historically speaking, the odds will be much more in your favor.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I gotta know, how did you get the trail name Ballflap?
So I started hiking in these sandals actually that I'm wearing now. I hiked whenever I was in Arkansas, I hiked in Chacos, and I figured like, hey, like I haven't hiked in like 7-8 years, I could probably go straight into hiking from sandals. So I picked up a pair of Bedrocks, which I'm actually wearing on the AT, and I wore throughout the whole PCT. But so I started going like from not hiking at all and coming off of like, you know, just being a bartender to hiking. Me and my buddy were very ambitious, and we wanted to start on 20-mile days. Sub Coast Course in the hot desert on April 1st or April 2nd in sandals going up Hauser Canyon. Dude, ripped my feet apart.
Yeah.
I guess when we ended up in Lake Marina a couple days later, I had like a flap on the ball of my foot. It was probably like the size of like, it was like that big, like a tennis ball.
It was a big flap.
It was a very large flap.
This is when I met him. I met them at Mount Laguna and.
Mount Laguna, that's what it was.
Yeah. And it was like, Ethan had come up to us to talk and like ball flap was just like waddling around the background. And we were like, what's wrong with him? And they're like, oh, ball flap? You should see his foot. They posted the photo of his foot on the like 2017 Facebook page, and he got ripped on. Like everyone was like, "Oh, this pussy's not gonna make it." Like all kinds of funny stuff. Yeah. Like that's morale why amateurs don't go that. Hiking.
Was that inspirational fuel for you?
Not really. I knew I wanted to do it, and that wasn't really what was stopping me at the time. It was just like, good Lord, this hurts like a lot. Like, especially second day, I was like, God, I don't know if I can finish. I don't know if I can finish this. So I was just like, I don't know how I can get out of this bed.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I knew I was gonna be able to do it. And I had some guy, which jury's still out on him. What was his name? Brad.
Sorry.
Do you remember Brad?
Anyways. Sure. Brad.
Yeah.
Yes,
so this, he was a guy who claimed to be an army vet and he worked on my foot, gave me a bottle of tequila. He's like, drink half, pour the half rest of your feet. And I guess he did a really good job because it healed up great. But, turns out he may have been stolen valor.
Ooh.
So we don't know. We're not really sure.
Stolen valor and potentially stolen tequila. You got to question everything about this guy's
character. Potentially stolen tequila. But I mean, the stolen tequila, even if it was stolen, I thank the man because it helped a lot.
Sure. Absolutely. Oh, I do have a quick interjection before we move on. So that was not the story that I was expecting from Ball Flap because I knew a guy that hiked the AT 2012, different year.
Wow, you know people in the AT?
You don't get to drink for that one, although you can if you would like to.
Taking a sip.
His trail name was Dick Flap, and he got that trail name because he would slightly unzip his tent at night and just urinate out of the tent. And that was the Dick Flap. And also shout out to this guy because he's gone on to big things. He now hosts his own show on National Geographic. Wow. He has like his own YouTube series. I'm gonna butcher his last name, I think, but it's Felipe DeAndre.
Oh my god, everyone needs to find his social media and message him and
Dick
be like, "Hey,
Flap,
Dick Flap,
man." Hey, ball respect from Ball Flap. I wish I got my name like you.
Yeah, I've met this guy a couple times at Trail Days. He is a nut job, and I love him so much.
So. Even after you had that huge flap on the ball of your foot, you kept hiking in sandals.
I kept hiking in sandals.
Why?
Because they just feel better than hiking in shoes, I think, at least.
Okay. And so you'll be wearing them on the AT as well?
I will be wearing them on the AT.
So you're wearing Bedrocks.
I am wearing Bedrocks,
how did you settle? Because there's a lot of different hiking sandal brands. How did you settle on Bedrock?
Well, I had a friend actually that had a pair of Bedrocks at one point, and my cousin actually, and I like tried them on, and like I knew about Lunas and Zero shoes too, and the Bedrocks just like looked like the most like adventure ready, and like I'd worn them and I liked them a lot, and I was like, I bet I could hike fast and far, and the pair weighs 14 ounces, so I just figured I could go. So I settled on them, and like honestly, I love them. Like I went through the whole state of like most of Northern California, I did about half and half, or I guess of all of California, I did about half and half. Oregon is more of 3/4 sandals, 1/4 shoes, and all of Washington was in sandals. So, yeah, it was
a good choice too, because when I had started, I had the Zero shoes. I brought their Cloud shoes with me. But they ended up being more of a camp shoe because they were so thin, which is intentional. That's what their Cloud shoes are supposed to be, is thin. But I thought, hey, they're lightweight. They'll be great to bring hiking. And I wore them for a couple of hours on one of the days I was hiking and had blood blisters on the bottom of both of my heels after that, just because it wasn't a good hiking shoe, I guess.
Yeah. I have talk to very few hikers that don't have a story of them hiking at least some distance in Crocs or Bedrocks or something along those lines, just because, you know, it's really hard to get your footwear right before your first through hike. Cause even if you wear it out on 10, 15, 20 mile hikes, it's a different thing when you're doing 20 mile hikes for 3, 4, 5 consecutive days.
Yeah.
Your feet react totally differently. So unless you have the time to go out and do like an extensive shakedown hike, you really don't know how your footwear is going to respond. And seeing that being the case, a lot of people end up having to use their Crocs or their Bedrocks as emergency sandals.
Mm-hmm.
all the time. I mean, that's why, like, I'd done a few training hikes in the Bedrocks, you know, 6-10 miles. And I was like, you know what? I think I've built up enough of a callus. But when you're doing 20 miles and 100 mile or 100 degree heat in Hauser Canyon,
yeah,
it's a different story.
Sure. You know, I've always thought that starting in the desert would just be, because obviously we went southbound, mm-hmm. so we got the Washington climate off the bat. I always thought that starting in the desert would be tough just because it's hot. It's mm-hmm. much more sandy down there. Like, you're just much more prone to blisters. By the time that we got down there, our feet were, you know, hardened, yeah, rock hard. Yeah, we had elephant skin at that point.
How did you said you didn't research much the PCT and you didn't research much of the AT either, but how did you prepare for the PCT hike? And has that changed in how you've prepped for the AT?
Oh God. Well, for the PCT hike, I felt more prepared. I mean, I had like done some researches in like not really any of the areas that we were going to see, just kind of like what I was like going to expect. I'd read some of the trek, some of y'all's articles, and just some other things, just kind of what to expect on a through hike. And, you know, I'd gotten gear dialed in by, I think maybe 2 weeks before I was done with work and I was just mentally getting ready to go. To be honest,
haven't even tried your pack on yet.
I decided to do this a month ago. I just finished up working 21 days in a row. And yeah, I'm about to buy my pack off Chance, and
I'm giving him that green one.
I don't know if Chance has told you this yet, but she was very close to putting in her 2 week notice at her job and joining you on the.
Oh,
she, yeah, we were texting about it.
Yeah, okay. I think we talked about it when I was working. I was working at a Lyft at Vail, and she called me, and we just had like maybe a 30-minute long conversation about her quitting and starting the AT.
We were so down on
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
no,
is your boss listening to this podcast?
I hope not, Gene. I didn't do it.
This is all hearsay.
She's still there. Don't worry.
On Monday, that almost happened. I was texting Bothlap, and he was like, yeah, we could start together in a week. And I was like, okay. And then I talked to you, and then I slowly got brought back to reality.
Let the record show that I was encouraging you to go.
Yeah, you were. You were. But you were also like rationalizing my impulsiveness.
Okay.
It would have been tough.
Yeah.
A month is a short time.
Like, I texted my mom because I was like, oh, mom will be the one to reel this in and like put a nip in the bud real quick. And she was like, at first she was like, no. And then I was like, but like, how bad would it be? And she was like, well, you could do it. And I was like, you came too fast. You're supposed to talk me out of it.
Plus, you'd be walking through her backyard. She'd be stoked.
Yeah, right.
I think that's the whole thing. Yeah. You know? Did you change any of your gear besides the fact that you're going to try to get my Mountain Laurel pack off me?
Which we still need to debate the price on that.
Yeah, we should have some hearty negotiations.
Yeah. I could be the mediator if you want.
He asked me to lower the price by $20 more, and I was like,
I would
no.
say $30.
And then he was like,
that's what I was saying.
How about $20
more? She said 700
more.
Miles is not a very like long distance.
Anyway, no.
Ballflap, I mean, we've got a sponsor in this podcast now. She can afford it. She
Listen
can afford to go down
to
$30.
Me.
Right.
So I told him, I was like, greedy. Look, I said to him, if you want to pay $20 less, that's fine. You know, if you think you should pay $20 less, then like, that's fine.
It yeah, but there's
doesn't
a
matter.
Thick
and then
layer
Flap,
of guilt in Ball that. Flap,
no, it wasn't. He got upset because he wanted the debate. That's the only reason he wants the pack lower, yeah. is because he just wants to debate.
Well,
the
obviously it's the
up.
Cash too, but I do like a hearty debate.
I mean.
So we're going to have round two tonight where I actually try to put up like a fight and say, no, okay. I want this firm price.
We should get a couple more PBRs in you to kind of lube the debate. PBR is
the good juice is flowing.
Exactly. So I think we cut you off before you got a chance
yeah,
to answer.
Yeah, that was rude.
So your gear changes. So you're getting a good deal off of Chance with your with the mountain.
He's getting that friends and family discount.
That's right.
It's the Mountain Laurel Profit.
The Profit, okay.
Profit.
And that's only because I switched to the Burn.
Yeah.
So.
Is the Burn slightly smaller?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I.
35, I think.
I just couldn't fill the pack once I started sending things home that I realized I didn't need.
Is that because you weren't eating?
No, I didn't have as much stuff.
Mm-hmm. Including food?
I ate a lot of chocolate. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. It took up space.
Okay.
But I downsized and yeah, so you're going to take my backpack.
Take your backpack.
What else did you switch?
I can't really, I guess my sleeping pad. So I have a Neo Air, which we actually, right before the podcast, we were talking about it and she was telling me that I should stick with the,
I mean, if you like waking up on the ground in the middle of the night with your sleeping pad next to you, then yeah, have fun with the Neo Air.
I've heard a lot of good things about the
I'm
New
gonna
York.
Interject and say that that's way off base.
Right.
Did you?
No way. I hiked with it for the first half of my trip. And then I kept waking up and like, if I would roll at all, it would just slide out from under me because there's no side.
I mean, stuff. Like, I don't want to make the claim that you're weird. But
yeah,
you're weird.
Don't do that.
You can go ahead and make that claim.
I haven't had that issue with it. I've had the issue of it deflating, and you know, sometimes you can get a faulty thing. Sometimes you're just being lazy, not putting a ground cloth underneath right. your tent. But I've never had the issue where I don't wake up on my mm-hmm. sleeping pad, and I do toss and turn quite a bit.
Don't know. I had that issue every night. I'd wake up and I would have rolled a bit, and I would be off of it, and I would also have the issue where it would deflate, and so it was like, why am I bothering using this if it's not going to stay inflated throughout the night? And I'm going to have to wake up at 5 a.m. to keep reinflating it just to go back to bed for an hour.
I do remember that actually about
yeah.
yours.
You but remember
that,
me bitching about
you were
that?
The only person that I heard that about.
Well, I was the only one using it in our hiking group.
It is pretty polarizing, I will say. There's some people that don't like the noise, although I think the newer editions of that have gotten rid of that problem. And the deflation is another issue. Mm-hmm. But like, some people just like the simplicity of just like rolling out the Z light at the end of the night, not having
right.
to.
I'll tell you what though, like having that with the pack that I'm about to give you, it's nice because since it's a frameless pack, you can give fold me. It up and put it into the back of the pack where your back will be.
As a frame.
Pack the rest of it. And then you have the blow thingy at the top. And once your pack's packed, you just blow a little air into it and then cap it off. And so it'll inflate a bit and it gives you like a nice pillow on your back.
It's also warmer and generally lighter. It depends on how many of the segments you take with you. But I think like the full size thing compared to
you're thinking of the wrong sleeping pad. We're talking about the inflatable one.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the X Lite is lighter than the Z Lite. If you're taking the regular length for both of them.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about
and
I thought you were talking about the foldy bits. Yes, no, if you have the full Z Lite, it is more heavy to carry the Z Lite.
And not as warm.
But if you cut it down to...
If you segment it out, like right. I remember like mm-hmm. at the end of the PCT, I had like an 8-segment Z-Lite and it was like, what, maybe 7-8 ounces?
Yeah.
I don't remember. It was something like that.
Did you finish the rest of your big three?
Rest of big three, I'm keeping. So I had a revelation that I switched halfway through the PCT. Uh-huh. So I'm keeping that just because, I mean, even though it's 20 degrees and that's probably going to be a little warm when I'm starting, it's a blanket. I can turn it into a blanket and I feel like that's a... Not yeah, a
you're starting
choice.
Late enough that the 20 is probably right. the right yeah. thing, especially guys tend to run a little bit warmer than
right.
girls.
And I think that's it for the, and my tent is just a Fly Creek.
Gotcha.
That's what I switched again halfway on the PCT. I had like some really shitty tarp. I mean,
yeah. Oh, you can fucking say all this shitty.
Oh, dude, this tarp he had.
Oh, dude,
we got done with Fuller Ridge and we were about to go down into Cabazon the next morning. And Ball Flaps, like at this point, has bragged a fair bit about like how light his tarp setup is compared to all us like suckers in our tents. And we get to this spot and there's like nowhere good to set up. It's windy, like there's weather, and you see Ball Flap at this big boulder just trying to get his tarp to like drape over part of it, and it keeps falling back down, and we're all just sitting there fucking laughing like haha.
Dude, it was the worst. I think I had a burrito that night.
I mean, I used a trekking pole tent on the PCT last year.
Oh yeah.
And there were times where I wish I would have had just my freestanding
just
tent.
A freestanding, yeah,
because mm-hmm. I ended up destroying my stakes and it made it an issue for the rest of the trail. It's just, yeah, there are times where there's just the simplicity of a freestanding tent is so nice.
I would get so jealous when my like tent pole or sorry trekking pole tent would, you know, I'd want to clean it out because there'd be all kinds of dirt and stuff inside, and I'd look over and Ball Flap would have his Fly Creek in one hand just holding it upside down shaking it. And I was just like, fuck's sake, that looks so nice.
Yeah, it does save time because the alternative is you have to flip it inside out and then
it's
flip
such
it
an yeah no the alternative is you sleep on dirt because no one's doing that.
Some
at least I'm
here. Sex over here, like, you know what? I don't know about all of
you
us.
You clean folk.
Those Z-Pax tents are expensive. I'm getting the dirt out before I fold it up because
right.
that'll degrade it pretty quickly.
Well, to each their own. So talking about your revelation, not that you had a revelation, but your revelation quilt.
Though I did.
Both.
It got a little wet at some point in the trip.
Oh, not that one.
It got wet, but you were sleeping inside.
Yes. It wasn't the revelation. That's part of the reason I switched.
Oh.
But it was the Anari Ignea, which...
What happened to that bag?
Well, my sister actually, my little sister is 15 years old, took that on a camping trip with some of her friends. And
oh, no.
It wasn't until after till I told her that what had happened.
Well, go on. Tell Zach. Tell
so,
everyone.
I guess we were in Wrightwood after, I guess, was it Cinco de Mayo? It was on Cinco de Mayo. Or maybe a couple days after.
Sure.
We were in Wrightwood, and like one of the hotels, I guess the Wrightwood Inn was having like a taco night. And of course there were margaritas. And we come back and, you know, we're all staying at this Wrightwood church camp and in like all these bunks. And so, you know, we go to bed.
And literally, we all just went to bed.
Yeah, everyone just went to bed. Well, we were not exactly so responsible. Right. But I woke up halfway through the night, probably like 12 o'clock, and I just felt wet. And I was like, I was thinking, shit, man, like, am I that drunk that I'm going to piss myself right now? And because I mean, I've had a few of those nights, but I woke up and I was like, and I felt around. And I was like, that's definitely not me. And I look up and one of our buddies, Sequoia, this 36-year-old man, is leaning over me, just stupid drunk, just pissing all over my sleeping bag.
He got peed on.
And some girl wakes up. I forgot who it was.
It was Munchies. Munchies were still awake.
Yeah, Munchies wakes up and she goes, Sequoia, are you fucking peeing in here right now? And he goes, no, I went outside.
And so we're like trying to find a light to turn on. And he walks over and opens and closes the door to make it sound like that was him coming back inside. But we were like, but you were already inside. So like, ooh, that didn't say anything. Ooh, and so we all went back to sleep and we heard the sound again. And he was doing it again. And we were like, fucking A.
My least favorite part of this story is the part where you didn't walk out with the trail name Golden Shower.
Right.
I mean, there's still time. You're about to leave for a new trail. If Chance and I can convince you of anything.
Maybe I can take on Golden Shower.
Or
ball flap to Golden Shower.
G Shower or Golden S. Whatever you want to go with. You know, something catchy like that.
Yeah. Hey, you should have paid me, honestly.
That is. Wow. Dang.
To be fair, he bought him breakfast the next morning, okay, and then he took his sleeping bag to get washed.
So to be fair, I was a little...
Ball Flap handled it so well. Anyone else would have gone nuts. And Ball Flap was just laying there like, huh, I got peed on.
Sorry, I peed on you. Here's a couple of flapjacks.
Yeah, right. And Ball Flap was like, all
right,
he
bought me a chicken fried steak in the morning. And I was like, I guess breakfast in the morning is not too bad.
So were you able to get all the urine out of the Ignio?
Oh God, I washed it and I sent it home maybe like 200 or 300 miles after, and I don't know. I mean, like I said, I had a little sibling sleep with it the other night, so
all right. She didn't complain about a weird smell, so you're good.
Yeah, right.
We also, God, we did fun things when we were aboard on trail. We had, so when we talked about the bread pillow in the episode 4 with Viking about scariest moments.
Of course.
It was Ball Flap that I was playing odds with.
Mm.
Because.
Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah. So that was his fault. What other stuff did we do in odds? That was a fun game that we played.
There was a lot of different
for
games.
For anyone, you know, who hasn't listened to episode 4, can you give just like a very quick run through on how odds is played? We should do an entire segment sometime about games played on trail.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Maybe
yeah,
we'll work that into this episode at some point.
Weird. It's like, that's the bullet point I'm reading.
Oh, go. I didn't read it.
God,
this is the episode where I showed up entirely unprepared.
Zach put me in charge of the notes on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so odds.
It would have seemed so natural if you hadn't mentioned that.
Literally, my segues were so good. Thank you. Goodbye. Odds, basically, you say to someone, like, what are the odds you'll do this thing? And it's usually not something that they particularly want to do. And then they'll tell you a 1 in something number, like 1 in 10 or 1 in 5, 1 in 20, depending on how bad it is of the thing that they actually have to do. And then you count to 3 and you both say a number. And if you guess the same number, then the person has to do it. And we play it a way where if you guessed one number off, then the person that odds'd you has to do it, which is how I ended up with the
So what's the disadvantage to just making the odds incredibly high? Or I guess low, like it's saying 1 in 500.
No one would ever guess the same number and it wouldn't be fun and you'd stop playing.
Okay, that's how I would play though.
Right. So we like to live life on the edge.
Yeah, I like to live life in the win.
Yeah, well, that's why no one likes to play games with you.
That's right. Undefeated, baby.
Anyway, so the band.
Oh, no.
Loser. So the bear pillow came out of that. And then, God, you had to crab walk across an interstate, didn't you?
I had to crab walk across an interstate. I've had to eat a pine cone.
It was not safe. Oh, you had to eat a pine cone.
I had to eat a pine cone, which is very disgusting.
You had to stand on the fire.
I was very regular after that, I will say.
You swallowed it.
I swallowed it.
That sounds painful because like the little tips on the pine cones, yes. That's like chewing little needles.
It was in Kennedy Meadows South. So it was like it was a small pine cone at the time, but
baby cone.
It was a baby cone.
Oh, tell us about your Frisbee.
So that's a luxury item.
That was my luxury item for sure.
I like that.
Yeah, that's on our bullet list.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Is this like a ultralight Frisbee that I'm not aware of?
No. I got him a Patagonia Frisbee because he was mad at me.
Well, did you pee on him?
No, I only do that if he pays. But tell us what happened with this Patagonia Frisbee.
The reason I carried a Frisbee is because I played Ultimate in college, and I just felt like I needed to have a Frisbee. So we were playing it was in Cascade Locks. We went back for PCT days, and we were playing at this Frisbee, and I guess someone who's coming to visit, she was not a hiker, but she's coming to visit for PCT days.
I'm going to stop you right there and just for like, we're going to lead up to this by noting that any time we took any type of break on trail, the boys had the Frisbee out.
Okay.
Lunch break, dinner break. We got to camp at night. It's camp in the morning. Waiting for a hitch. This Frisbee was always out. They loved this thing.
What happens in the scenario, because I'm just thinking through like, damn, I need to bring a Frisbee. But when you're on like a ridgeline, it's a windy day and the wind just takes the Frisbee.
They were like cautious enough.
Okay.
We were scared.
Okay.
they treated this thing like it was a child. They loved it.
Yeah.
And so we get to PCT
probably
days.
Probably better than most 20-some-year-old guys would treat a child.
Exactly.
Definitely better than I would probably treat a child right now.
Yeah. Well.
Because sadly,
you can bring a baby into a windy area. Babies like that.
Yeah, right? Yeah. A Frisbee. No.
Today on the differences between a child and a Frisbee.
Not much.
Okay, so we get to PCT days, and what happens with the Frisbee?
This girl, I guess, who had shown up, asked us to throw it to her. So we threw it to her. And of course, the reason we were so cautious is because we've been throwing the Frisbee for a long time. So we knew like if it's a windy day and you're near water, like we all know how to throw it. So we didn't like throwing it to other people because
they were territorial
because people are bad at Frisbee. And so this lady was bad at Frisbee. And so she threw it into the lock. And it, of course, in Cascade Locks, if you've ever been there, that's the sign that says no diving or swimming specifically in the lock. And so we just had to watch my most precious pack item fly away and just float away into the Columbia River. So it was very sad.
That's heartbreaking.
It was horrible. Luckily, my next adventure with a little convincing gave us a free Frisbee. At PCT days.
That was nice of them.
Was it as good as the Patagonia Frisbee?
It was not.
Okay. I didn't know Patagonia sold Frisbees. Is it just like
I saw one when I was in Bend and I was like, oh my God, I need to get this. And they were like, these will sell out by the end of the day.
Is it made out of like recycled bamboo or something?
Probably.
Yeah. Cool.
It's not.
But the one other game I wanted to mention was the game we would play a game where we would be sat on like a break or at lunch or something, and you know, other hikers would be hiking past you. And we'd look at like one of the people like in the group, we just pick someone each time a new hiker was coming up, and we'd give them a word to say. So like I'd be like ball flap, say give me a funny word.
Yazoo.
Okay. So I'd say ball flap. Your word's yazoo. And the next hiker that would come up, ball flap would have to say hi to them and find a way to fit that word into the conversation before they hiked on.
Ah,
and
that's a good one. I like
so
that.
So sometimes like it'd be like something like yazoo, like harmless, or like we'd like, didn't we get, we gave one of them penetrate. And they're like, wow, you're really penetrating those miles today.
Wow. Like, don't think that's the correct context for
that. That one didn't go over very well.
No, but that's another fun one to play.
What, do you guys have any other games?
It wasn't like a regular game, but we had at one time, so we had, it was in Northern California. We were hiking, I guess, 7 miles. I forgot what it was in Castle Crag.
We hadn't gone far,
but we had gone 7 miles that day and we had taken a break. And this guy that knew Chocolate Balls, or I guess had followed him on YouTube, wanted to give us trail magic. And so he met us at this road crossing, gave us some like, what was it? Some Subway sandwiches.
Yeah, he brought Subway.
It was amazing. He's a really nice guy. Yeah. And he asked us later, he told us that, hey, like my family's having a barbecue or like a cookout and camping. I think it's probably like 5-10 miles down the road.
Yeah. If you can get a hitch, you guys should come.
Yeah. If you can get a hitch, you guys can go and everything. And so, you know, we said, no, we're probably going to keep hiking. Like, thanks a bunch and everything.
We've only done 7 miles.
Having only done 7 miles and having eating like a lot of Subway. So we ended up hanging out at that road crossing after he left for about an hour. And so Gilligan, my friend from college, we had told him that like we were just throwing rocks and just being dumb. And like there was a sign across, I think it was like one of the PCT signs across the road. And so we were like, hey, Gilligan,
like
if you can,
one of the trail markers.
Yeah, like a trail mark or something. If you can hit that sign with a rock, we're going to go like to this trail match and we're not going to hike anymore today.
Three tries.
And like we acted like it was like make or break. Like he has to hit this, even though like, you know, it didn't matter at all. We could have gone. And so on the third try, you know, he misses wide the first time, gets close the second time. And on the third try, he nails that sucker. And dude, we cheered.
We went fucking nuts. It was like someone unhandcuffed us and was like, all right, go, go.
We were like, yeah. So we found some guy near the trail and he gave us a hitch down and had a fucking blast over there.
I think throwing rocks at objects is like America's pastime, at least for
it
guys.
It has to be.
Like,
yeah.
Ever since I've been old enough to stand and throw something, I've been doing exactly that. Jabba and I would have some sign contests, obviously with smaller, like pebble sized rocks.
You gotta be respectful. Yeah.
Yeah. L&T. Not trying to damage anything, but I mean, damn if I'm not excited when I hit my target.
Oh yeah. It's like nothing else, man.
Absolutely.
The little things, Andre.
Right.
I like that you were using that to base you're basically were using that as an Ouija board.
It was like, we've only done 7 miles. We can't go to this trail match. Like, we need to keep going. We're ahead of the fires. You know, we need to keep what we're doing. Let's just say if he hits it on the third try, because, you know, there's no chance that is going to happen.
I didn't think he was going to hit it at all. It was just so small, and it was probably like maybe 30 yards away. Oh,
I like that you collectively decided that going to the trail magic was a bad idea. But let's just throw some rocks to really figure this one out.
Yeah, you know.
Let's let fate decide here.
Exactly.
And you know what? That was probably the best trail magic we got.
Yeah.
So, worth it.
So, my notes here tell me that when you left for the PCT, you had a girlfriend back home. I sincerely don't know if she's still in the picture or not.
She's not.
She's not.
She's not.
I guess I didn't read the rest of that. So what?
Zach came so prepared to today's episode.
Very prepared.
Hey, well, you're wearing like down booties right now, so
I'm comfortable. Thank you.
Spring fashion.
Yeah. Right.
So
my feet are really warm.
Hopefully this isn't too uncomfortable to talk about, but like, what was it like to go through a breakup on trail?
I mean, it was pretty rough. Like, we'd started dating, and it was kind of a tough situation to begin with. She had a kid with another person. So, and I'd started dating her when the child was like 3-4 months maybe. So not very old. But I can't remember Northern California when we broke up. And like before then, she was just a constant, someone like I would talk to every day on trail. And then I actually went back. The reason I spent so much time in Lake Isabella, before the podcast, I just kind of told I was all hanging out there. But I went and flew back for a week for my cousin's wedding, and of course to see her and like spend a few days with her and everything. And it was like awesome. And but I guess a couple weeks later, you know, things didn't really work out. Baby daddy got back in the picture. So, I mean, it was rough. The first maybe week and a half, 2 weeks. I remember like I didn't really talk to anybody for a while. I was kind of hiking on my own. I'm sure you guys can attest to that. And throughout the whole trail, it was kind of like until like we started getting into Northern Oregon and Washington, it was a pretty sore spot. I didn't really want to talk about it. And just because of the first person I kind of fell in love with too. So it was pretty tough, but it also like the trail, like you were saying, the trail is a big deal, and it changes you a lot in a lot of ways. And I think that, it changed me for the better, and like going through that on trail was probably really good for me as a person.
Yeah. I mean, not that you'd ever pick to have something like that happen, but right. If you had to pick a circumstance for that to happen, in the midst of a thru hike is probably the easiest way to process it.
Better than being back. I would have been a worse and much more hurtful situation had I been back home rather than, you know, 2,000 miles away hiking with, yeah, super close friends.
Me.
And Chaunce.
Hey, get out.
But yeah, I just it was better that it happened on trail rather than after or you know, back home or anything.
Are you planning on going to trail days?
If I can get a hitch, hint hint to anyone out there.
You'll have no so with with Trail Days, if you're within a 400 mile radius in either direction, you'll get your ride to Trail Days. It's not hard to do.
What is it, like 440 miles out, something like that? I don't know.
Maybe a hair closer to 500 if memory serves, but yeah, right in that range. Okay. You should be right around there. If anything, if you're a strong hiker. Bullfrog's
not going to be able to do 100 miles in 2 weeks, so don't get him excited.
400 miles in 2 weeks?
No, 100. To get into the 400 mile range,
oh, yeah,
you'd have to do 100 miles in 2 weeks. You're not capable of that.
It's going to be rough.
Yeah. yeah. If you're looking for a social experience, Trail Days is it. It is a wild thing. It's unfortunate because I think it was Backpacker Magazine sent some reporters to Trail Days last year. And I only vaguely remember the article, but they kind of reported on it as if that was the stereotypical AT experience. Nothing could be further from the truth. Trail Days is a Trail Days experience.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Like PCT Days is great, and I want to go to Trail Days because I hear that it's such a social aspect, that so many people come from it, that there's just like, you meet so many people, there's so many parties, so many different people that have hiked the AT in different years. It just sounds incredible. So like, there's something that, like, that's kind of why I started, or decided to do Nobo, is I want to go to Trail Days.
Yeah. People do psychedelics and dance around a fire while a drum circle is happening.
Very not opposed to that.
Unfortunately for you though, Zach's going to be there. So.
That is, but I will not be partaking in that. I'll be the 30 something year old guy asleep at 9:30 after going to the barbecue restaurant that he goes to every single time.
Wow. You're washed up.
There's a really good barbecue restaurant in Abingdon, which is probably won't pertain to you because you're going to be in full-fledged thru-hiker mode, but I go every single year. So if anyone out there is going to Trail Days and they're trying to be old, don't go there because I don't want there to be a line. I really appreciate being able to just
stay away, people.
Yeah.
This is how Zach's going to validate the fact that no one will go to this barbecue place with him.
I go every year.
I just didn't want a line, so I told all of them not to come.
Yep, exactly. Well, thanks so much for being here on your last night in town. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. This is great.
I mean,
it was great for you, but...
Yeah.
Hey, Hiker Trash, we're going to take a quick break from our regularly scheduled programming to bring you an interview between Chance and Frodo of the Scout and Frodo PCT Trail Angel fame. Chance was recently in San Diego to premiere the PCT Class of 2017 video, which she edited together herself. I think she spent something like 250 hours on it, and quite frankly, she did an amazing job. But please do not tell her I said that. And in fact, if you can comment on the YouTube link, which I'll provide in the show notes, just say something like Badger didn't enjoy the video at all, and that would be really greatly appreciated. Anyway, in the remote chance that you're not already familiar with Scout and Frodo, they are the Trail Angels based in San Diego who make the logistics of starting a northbound PCT thru hike entirely way too easy. Each year, they pick up hikers from the airport, house them, feed them, and then drop them off at the southern terminus nearly an hour and a half away from their home. They do this every single day for about 2 months. On top of it all, they don't accept any donations. Chance had the pleasure of chatting with Frodo to learn more about this operation. Here it is.
All right, so I am at Scout and Frodo's in San Diego, and I'm here with Frodo. Gonna ask her a few questions about her work as a trail angel. This is the first stop that a lot of hikers will take on their trips when they go northbound. They run shuttles to San Diego airport and pick people up and bring them back here, and the amount of effort that it takes to do what they do is incredible. So we're just going to get a bit more information on that. So Frodo, thanks so much for letting me come and interview you. How long have you guys been doing this?
This is our 13th season. We started in 2006, which was the year before we did our hike in 2007. And in 2006, we had 17 hikers. In 2007, we had 35. 2008, it went up to like 120. Then it went up kind of gradually till 2015. We had like 300 and something. And then it took some big jumps, and we're now at 1,100.
Wow. So it's just in the past few years that it's blown up.
Yeah.
And how has that been adjusting to?
So it used to be that we would have kind of, before the permit quota system, we would have some, you know, big peaks like right before the kickoff. And then there'd be some times where, you know, we only had a few hikers, a handful of hikers. And so you had some time, you kind of felt like you almost had time off. nowadays it's like from the beginning to the end, it's anywhere from 20 to 50 hikers.
Wow.
And so it's just, you feel like you're just on all the time.
So it's the fact that like the permit system has limited the amount of hikers that can start has
spreads
actually
them out.
Added to the amount of hikers that come here?
I don't know that that's true. It's just made it so that they're more evenly spread out rather
okay.
than having a peak right before the kickoff.
Or okay, so you don't have like a big day. You
right.
just have a lot
right.
of...
A lot of medium days.
Got it.
Yeah.
And when do you guys start for the season? When is your start?
So this year we started March 25th because we were... Actually, March 24th because we were out of town. Our daughter just had our first grandchild.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, so we wanted to be able to spend some time with him before we started our season. Last year we started on March 13th. We came back from a vacation to the Galapagos and picked up hikers at the airport as we were driving home.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So it just kind of depends on our situation.
Okay.
And then this year we are finishing on March 15th because our grandson's coming to on May 15th because our grandson is coming on May 16th. Last year we stopped on May 18th, I think, because Scout was going to go do the Appalachian Trail.
Right. Right. I remember that. He was
yeah.
about to leave. And he was talking about that because he had gone and done a few bits of the PCT.
Ah, yeah.
Right before he left.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's nice. So how many volunteers does it take to make this possible?
Oh, a lot. I think 2 years ago, Scout wrote, at the end of the season, he wrote thank you notes to volunteers, and we had like over 50.
Wow.
So we probably have 30 people who drive for us in the mornings. You know, not, I mean, they just sign up for certain days, maybe more than that. And then we will have had this year probably 12 or 15 hikers who have come and lived with us for anywhere from three days to a month to help out. Yeah, and we desperately need those folks too because they do airport runs, they drive to the border, they help put out lunch, they do all that kind of stuff.
That's great. And you have a lot of repeat offenders as well, don't you? Because I remember last year I got picked up by Rolling Thunder.
Okay.
And I had seen a post of something and Rolling Thunder was in it again.
He hasn't been here this year.
No?
No.
Oh, maybe
no.
That was last year.
He actually lives in New Zealand.
Yeah.
He sometimes is in New Zealand, sometimes in Australia. So
why
we haven't seen him this year.
Why did I think I saw him somewhere?
He may have been reflecting on something.
Or
on
maybe
Facebook.
It was Peppa.
Okay, that could be.
Was it Peppa that was here?
Peppa's still here, and yeah, Peppa was here last year for a month and this year.
That's who I'm thinking of then. It was
yeah.
Peppa who I saw last year and Peppa who I saw on the post for this year.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, they
sense.
Just keep coming back.
Yes.
What are your favorite memories from doing
hosting?
This? Yeah.
So it used to be, back in the day, we could let hikers stay longer. So we had some hikers who stayed with us for like a week.
Oh, wow.
Nowadays, because our numbers are so high, we just really don't have the space. So we offer hikers from within the U.S., we offer them one night. Hikers from Canada and Mexico who maybe can't do, you know, ship things from home, we offer them two nights. And if they're from overseas, we offer them three nights. But we had two Israeli young women in 2010 who stayed with us for actually 8 days, I think.
Oh, wow.
They were best friends. They'd been traveling independently. They came and they had no gear. And so they were researching gear. They would spend the day at REI and not buy a thing. But they got to be kind of like trail daughters to us. We actually visited them in Israel a couple years ago.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, yeah. So the really best memories have to do with just really getting to know some of the hikers. And PCT hikers, as a rule, are just really wonderful people, or we wouldn't do this.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it must be different, like, how... Back when they didn't have the permit system, you know, they could come for 8 days and they probably didn't have a day they had to start.
Right.
So they could just
figure
it out.
So you could be a little more flexible.
Yeah.
And we do understand that, you know, life happens, so we don't absolutely insist that people start on their permit date if there's some good reason that they couldn't.
Right.
And it's not so much the permit system that made it that there's more people. It's the permit system was to address the fact that there already were more people.
Right.
And it's the fact that there's more people that we can't offer them, you know, multiple, so many nights.
Yeah, and I think it's helpful.
I think it's the
well.
Movie Wild, and it's the book, and it's also a lot of positive feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody comes out and hikes the trail and has a great time and goes home and tells their buddies, and then the next year three of their buddies hike it. So that also contributes to the numbers going up.
Right, yeah, it just keeps growing. They were saying, there's this article shared on Facebook that South Korea has seen an exponential jump in the number of hikers that are coming to do the Pacific Crest Trail after Wild is released.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they like drew the correlation. They were like, our numbers have gone way up. Yeah. Yeah,
and we see a lot of South Koreans. I didn't know it, but I guess South Korea is actually a very mountainous country.
Is it?
Yeah.
Huh.
Somebody was telling us it's like 60% of the landmass of the country is mountainous.
Wow.
Yeah, I did not know that.
No, I just learned last winter that you could ski in Japan and that there's loads of skiing because I'm from New York. Well, actually,
the last Winter Olympics were in South Korea and there were lots of big mountains.
Oh, we should know so that.
They pointed that out to me. Yeah, it's like, well, duh.
Yeah. Yeah, I hadn't noticed till I went to Denver and everyone skied and then they started talking about it and I was like, people don't talk about that in New York, so I didn't know.
Right, right.
I just thought it was volcanoes. Do you have any funny stories that have happened?
Do I have any funny stories? Oh, man. So we always tell the story. We do a dinner talk every night.
Right.
One of the stories we tell is, we call it the story of that girl. So it's kind of a cautionary tale. We tell hikers, you want to make sure that you want to fill your water bottles the day before and make sure everything fits in your pack. And you probably heard this when you
were
there. Because several years ago, we had a young woman who stayed with us who did not realize until 6 a.m. when she was supposed to be, you know, getting into a car that there was just no way she could fit all the water in her pack. It was physically impossible. And there wasn't going to be an easy solution. So we told her, and this was before the permit system, so we could tell her, you know, why don't you just stay an extra night? We'll have someone work with you. They can help you figure out if you need to take all your stuff or how you can work this out so that you can take your water. Maybe you can ship some stuff ahead or ship some stuff home. And she was just so grateful. So then Scout and I talked that day and said, you know, we want to make sure this doesn't happen again because it was not pleasant for her. So we added it to our dinner talk. So that night in the dinner talk, we said, you know, make sure everything fits in your pack. Fill your water bottles. Make sure you have room for your water bottles because you don't want to be like that girl this morning who couldn't go out because her water bottles wouldn't fit. Oh, my God, she's still here. And we're saying this about her. She was actually a very good sport. But the funny part is that about 3 years later, maybe four, Scout was hiking the CDT in 2015. And we were at Pie Town at the Toaster House, which is like the one trail angel on the CDT. And the weather was really bad. It was actually snowing. And this is in New Mexico, about 450 miles in. And there were about 14 CDT hikers there, which is a crowd on the CDT. Many of them had stayed with us before they had done their PCT hikes. And so there was discussion. They were asking us questions. And somehow the story of that girl came up, and we told the story, and there's this woman sitting over in the corner soaking her feet in Epsom salts, and she says, that was me. Can you imagine? I mean, that just seems so random.
Yeah, what are the odds? Yes, especially the CDT's not like a populated trail.
No.
Wow.
But we tell that story, and we talk about how, you know, she obviously didn't have it figured out before she started her hike on the PCT, but she finished the whole PCT. She was out there on the CDT being successful. And so, you know, just because you feel like maybe you're not as prepared as some other people, you've got lots of trail to figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's, like, kind of the best thing is that, you know, when you are able to start and, like, have maybe some excessive things. And, you know, I brought a hammock and a tent in the beginning
because
I thought I'd have all this downtime to hammock.
Oh.
And then I realized you don't have free time.
No, you're rocking all the time.
Yeah, I just pictured it like this nice leisurely adventure, but you don't learn those lessons until you have to, you know, make that mistake and carry it yourself.
Right. So we, Peppa in particular offers pack shakedowns, and he does a really nice job because he's very respectful. If I were doing it, I'd be like, what are you thinking? But he's very respectful, and a lot of times people come out of it and they're not ready to let go of stuff, but at least now they know, you know, what to keep in mind, what maybe they don't need. And I know that a lot of them, you know, 40 miles, 100 miles up the trail, they're sending a lot of stuff home because they worked with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also nice, like, I had done a shakedown in Mount Laguna, and they had...
Oh, I've heard that he used to be just ruthless.
Yeah, they're brutal.
Yeah.
they spare no expense. But that was kind of good for me because I realized, like, if they're telling me, no, get rid of this, and I'm like, no, I want it, if I can defend that piece of gear and say, no, I want that, and, you know, fight for it, then in my mind it's like, okay, I can carry that farther. If I'm willing to put up that fight and say, no, I'm taking this, then I should keep that. And if I'm not willing to do that for a different piece, then maybe that's sign that I don't need it.
Yeah.
So does that make it easier for you to kind of bite your tongue when you see someone?
Oh, yeah. So we learned early on not to offer advice.
Okay.
If we're asked, we're happy to, you know, to give you an opinion. But it's actually really nice to have Pep here and say, you know, Pep is a really good resource because he's hiked the trail recently and he's up on gear and he's a nice guy. And so we generally pawn him off on Pep these days. Nice. Yeah.
What is the what's the most excessive thing you've seen someone come through here with?
So last year, it actually ended up in the hiker box and we left it there because it was just so funny. Some guy from Australia had gone to, I guess, the equivalent of REI and told them he was going to hike the Pacific Crest Trail and he didn't know what he needed to buy. And they just loaded him up. And the funniest thing he was carrying was this great big mallet that they told him he would need to pound in his tent stakes. Yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, that made no sense.
Oh my God.
We also one year found a flare gun in our hiker box. And we just thought, it's a good thing nobody thought, oh, gee, I wonder what this is, and shot it off in the house.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That must have been before SOS buttons.
Oh, I think it was, yes. Yeah. It was a few years ago.
That's funny. Are there any pet peeves you have when hikers come through?
I'm a little OCD. I have to tamp it way down during hiker season. So it's not so much pet peeves. There's things that make our job a little bit more difficult. Right. People walking through the middle of the kitchen with their backpacks on in the morning when there's four of us trying to get breakfast ready. That's a tough one. We're in San Diego. We're almost always in a drought situation. People who just leave the water running. So who act like I'm being unreasonable when I ask them to turn the water off.
Wow.
Yeah. They're just, you know, some people come from places where water is so plentiful that they just don't even understand it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because especially even like the flush rule, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, we actually...
It makes sense.
So that's a story. On Easter Sunday this year, we've had problems with our toilets the last 2 years. On Easter Sunday this year, which was, I think, April 6th. Anyway, that morning, our toilets backed up and like it was getting stuff all over the place.
It was flooding?
It was flooding.
Oh, my God.
And here it is Sunday morning. It's like, you know, 5:30 in the morning. And so we called the plumber and they did come out. And there are pictures on Facebook of our toilet sitting in the hallway while they're getting, you know, while they're cleaning stuff out. And it all worked out. It was tree roots. They took those out. But then you have to clean every surface down with alcohol after. But just the fact that, you know, the toilet's sitting in the middle of the hallway while everybody's trying to pack up, you know,
and it's
take
Easter,
their packs
outside. Like...
And it's Easter Sunday. Yeah, it couldn't happen in the middle of the day on a Monday.
No, yeah. Of course not.
Yeah. So we do have... You know, having this many people is a real, puts a lot of pressure on the system. So we've had, our dishwasher broke down this year. We had a refrigerator breakdown last year. So that's always a bit of a challenge.
And even with that, you guys don't accept donations?
No. No, we're in a position where we don't need to, which is really nice. It would change the relationship, I feel.
Right.
And we do make a point of telling the hikers that we're the only ones where that's the case. They need to understand that the other trail angels absolutely have to have donations. You know, that the Softleys are paying for all their water to be trucked in.
Right.
And they're doing laundry and letting people take showers and stuff like that. So you absolutely need to make donations there.
Right. And then you guys encourage them to donate to the PCTA.
Yeah, we encourage them to join the PCTA if they haven't already. Scout now has a coffee table book that's available for purchase. We say, you know, if your family doesn't understand why you're doing this, maybe buy the book for them. Scout doesn't actually get any of the proceeds.
I was going to say, the proceeds for that go to
PCTA,
too.
Yeah.
Didn't he get, I think I remember him saying this last year, didn't he get commissioned to do one for the Appalachian Trail?
Not the Appalachian Trail. That one's already been done. He just finished one for the CDT.
The CDT, that was it.
Yeah,
so he's done the three
now. A couple weeks ago. No, he's done the Pacific Crest. The Appalachian Trail was done by somebody else.
Oh, okay, that's where I got confused.
So they started a series. They started with the Appalachian Trail, and then the second one was America's Great Hiking Trail. So it was about the, I think, 11 National Scenic Trails. And then they did the PCT, and now they're doing the CDT.
Okay.
So and that'll come out in October.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So does he have any other big writing pieces coming up?
He has a book he wrote himself that's kind of more of a memoir from our hike that he's trying to find an agent for.
Oh, that's lovely.
But I would not be unhappy if he took a little bit of a break from writing anything new because we haven't really had a normal life in over a year because we had hiker season last year. Then he was hiking the Appalachian Trail for 5 months. Then he came home and he had 3 months to get this Continental Divide Trail book done. And so it was like, you know, a 3-week road trip to go interview people and rush. And so we haven't really had a chance to draw a breath because now we're back in hiker season.
Right.
So we're really looking forward to the second half of May.
I was going
to
say the 15th must just be like shining in the
champagne.
Distance.
Yeah.
Does he tell the story of how you got your trail name in that book?
No. Oh, in that book? Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you tell that?
Oh, sure. Okay, so just to kind of set the scene, I used to teach high school, so I had my summers off. And I would sometimes spend quite a bit of time in back here in this room reading trail journals on the computer because we knew we were going to do the PCT. And I like to have information. I'm from a family of engineers. I like to plan things. So I was reading trail journals, and it really torqued my shorts when people would, like, I read Girl Scouts trail journal for a couple of months before I realized he was a guy. And I just thought that was ridiculous. And Cucumber Boy was a girl, and Hot Sister was a guy. And I just thought that was just stupid. So I really thought it was really bad for somebody to have a trail name that was from the opposite gender. So then the year that we hiked in 2007 was going to be our 30th wedding anniversary, which, by the way, happened to happen on the day we crested Forrester Pass, which is the highest point.
Oh, nice.
So Scout decided that he wanted to do something special to kind of commemorate the fact that it was our anniversary and that we were hiking the PCT. So he commissioned a ring. He went online and looked to see who does custom jewelry, because he had this kind of vision in mind. And he found a woman in Oregon, and he sent her this long letter about how much he loved his wife. It's really great. He showed it to me later.
Aww.
And he kind of drove her crazy, but she ended up being successful. And so he got it about 6 weeks before we started our hike. And he showed it to some of the... Oh, that's the wind. He showed it to some of the hikers who were staying with us and told me, don't tell Sandy, it's a secret. And so then he gave it to me when I started my hike, and we actually started on different days because I had to come back and teach for 3 days. So I started the Friday of the kickoff in the afternoon and did 10 miles. Anyway, so he gave it to me, and, you know, big emotional moment at the monument and stuff, but I had to get going. And then at the kickoff the next day, a contingent of the hikers that we had hosted came and wanted to see the ring and stuff, and they came back a little later and they said, "We know your trail name. You're the ring bearer. You're Frodo." So this is the ring, which sometimes comes off and sometimes doesn't. So it's got the PCT symbol on the front.
Oh, wow.
So ideally, you know, you can tell that it's a PCT symbol from several feet away. It's got this monument at the Mexican border, Mount Shasta with Shastina, Mount Hood, and the monument at the Canadian border.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's really one of a kind ring, and he's quite the romantic guy.
Yeah, that's really creative for him to have come up with.
Yeah, yeah.
That
so
must
that's
have been
why
nice.
I am Frodo. In spite of, and when they told me that I was Frodo, I said, "No, Frodo's a guy," and it does create confusion.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Is it funny to you now that, like, you had thought that beforehand when reading the trail journals, and now it's ended up this way?
Yes, it's like, no.
Of course, the world works that way.
Yes, exactly.
That's so funny. Can you tell if someone's gonna make it or quit?
No,
there's no indicator.
So, I mean, there's sometimes. Sometimes we're pretty good at it, but for the most part, we don't even try.
Yeah.
Because there are people who come here and they're totally unprepared. They have no idea what they're getting themselves into. They've never hiked more than a couple of miles. They've never camped out overnight outside. And so you think, oh man, this person's just not going to make it. But they have the mental toughness and they have the resilience and they really want it and they learn. So some of them are really successful. One of the women who hiked with us our year, who we got to be very close to, was kind of that way. She came and her pack didn't fit her. She actually didn't stay with us. She stayed with some friends. And so they helped her get a new pack at REI because they knew how to get it fitted properly. And she figured it out and she hiked the whole trail. And then there's other people. We get people who've hiked the Appalachian Trail and we drop them off at the border. And then we get a call from them the next day. They're at Lake, or 2 days later, they're at Lake Moraine and they say, "I can't do this." And they want to get a ride back to the airport. Yeah.
That's nuts.
It's really hard to predict.
Yeah.
Because it's about what's inside, you know. The thing that makes it, whether you make it or not, is your brain and your mental toughness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's hard to judge just, you know, from interacting with somebody at the house here.
Yeah, definitely. Because you know them for such a short time as well.
Yeah.
And then we were at Adventure 16 on Friday, and you were talking about a thing called Hike the Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what's that?
So for a week in February, for many years now, I think like probably 15 years, Scout's been doing it for, I think, 11. I've only done it for 4. So each of the national trails, the National Scenic Trails, the National Historic Trails, sends a contingent. In the case of the PCTA, they're all volunteers, so they're paying their own way. We go to Washington, D.C., and most of them are meeting with members of Congress and their staffers, mostly the staffers, to educate them about the PCT and about the national trail system. educate them about the Land Water Conservation Fund, because 10% of the PCT is still on private land, and we want to change that. We want to get that onto public land. So they have to be able to purchase that, which they can do with LWCF funds. And then they have a letter of support for this that they send around, and they want the staffer to know that it's coming, and please make sure that your member of Congress signs it, that sort of thing. But a lot of it is just about making sure, you know, we're on their radar, that they know about the trail, that they know that there's people who really support it. One of the nice things about Hike the Hill is when you're from the PCTA, you can go in and say, let me tell you about our gift to the American people, because we have so many people who make private donations. We have so many people, 100,000 trail maintenance hours in a year, which is a lot of people, a lot of hours of maintenance that people are donating. So this is a national trail that ideally in the beginning, the concept was that it was going to be maintained by the government, and it's not. I mean, they provide some of the money, so we're asking them to continue to provide that money, but we're giving a lot of donated hours and donated volunteer time.
Yeah.
So my role, starting 4 years ago, starting 4 years ago, they started inviting along a group of high school students, four high school students. They go to a high school called Environmental Charter High School. It's in Lawndale, near LA. These are kids who are a lower socioeconomic, it's a charter school. They're kids whose parents did not go to college, but they're all destined for that, or they're all aiming for that. And they're chosen because they have really put in some time working on the PCT. So there's a couple of trips that they can take where they can do trail maintenance, do a little bit of hiking. These are kids who, you know, have really never been out in the outdoors before this opportunity. And some of them are really changed by it and really want to work to preserve, you know, natural spaces. We've had some of them want to go into environmental law and have gone to college heading in that direction. Public policy, that kind of stuff. So we take four of these kids, and some of the time they meet with like the head of the National Forest. They've met with him first as part of a meeting with all of these other representatives for Hike the Hill, but then also individually or as a smaller group. We've had them meet with some interns to talk about careers in Washington, D.C. that would be related to the kind of things they want to do. And then they also participate in a day's worth of meetings with members of Congress.
Wow.
And they go visit, you know, Georgetown or Washington University or something like that.
That's so
it's
great.
Really good for them. And it's also really good for the PCT, because it really is true. When you walk into the door of a congressional office and you have a 16 or 17-year-old with you, they pay a lot more attention.
Right, yeah.
Because those are the vote, you know, the upcoming voters.
Yeah, and it's, you know, showing that it's impacting not even the people that
right.
have hiked it in the past, but, you know, right. the upcoming generation already cares so much about it.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I've only got one more question, and that's, what do the neighbors think?
We get that question a lot. So we have neighbors on this side who think it's really cool, and they actually bake cookies for us for the hikers sometimes. The neighbors on this side, they're okay with it. I think they probably could do with a little less noise, so it's, hikers are really not that bad.
Doorway.
I'll get it in a minute.
Cool.
What she really hates, there's twice there have been times where, because of hiker-related reasons, her driveway has been blocked at a time when she really needed to get somewhere, and it's taken us a while to figure out whose car is that.
Yeah.
But they're actually very patient. She came over early in the hiker season and said, there's a lizard in my house. Can someone come help me? So she was very grateful to have some help, and she figured hikers were the ones to ask.
Yep.
So for the most part, we're just really, really lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We try to keep them happy. We give them a bottle of wine every once in a while.
That'll keep them at bay.
Right.
Well, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me. I really appreciate it.
Glad it worked out.
Yeah, me too.
So this is the point in the episode where we go through a little bit of propaganda for the trek. We are, once again, our managing editor put together a collection of best backpacking tents. And this is a combination of our research. Also, you know, we've got dozens of thru-hikers, writers on the website who contribute their favorite tents to this list as well. So let's just run through a list of them. The first one I want to talk about, because it's brand new and I'm actually very intrigued by it, is the Big Agnes Tiger Wall. Have you heard of this, either of you guys?
I have, actually.
It's a two-person?
Well, I think you can get the one person as well. But it's similar to what it looks like the Fly Creek in terms of style and weight, but it incorporates the side entry, like the copper spur, because that's the
huge biggest complaint.
Yeah, everyone complains about the front entry. And you know what? I agree. It's not the most comfortable thing. You get used to it after a while, but it is just a pain in the ass. You end up tracking in a lot more dirt. It's not ideal, especially because you don't have access to the vestibule through the front side, or at least the big part of the vestibule.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really work as a good dick flap either, does it?
It's not your ideal dick flap tent.
No. Okay, so if you want a good dick flap tent, you don't go with that one.
The Fly Creek UL1 is the perfect dick flap tent.
It's not.
The copper spore or the tiger wall has high dick flap potential.
Wow.
Which is a category that we did not include in this. Maybe something that we should consider from here on out.
Yeah, next one should definitely include that.
Did you run into any girls that like to urinate from inside their tent, outside of the tent? Is that a thing?
It's a little bit more difficult for us to attempt.
Couldn't you get like a contraption?
See, I would just run out of the tent as quickly as possible and then run back into the tent as quickly as possible.
Maybe this is the reason there's more guys on trails. The middle of the night urination situation.
But also, like, you prep for it. Like, you drink less water when you're like, no, you're about to go to sleep. And also, like, there's a fight with yourself when it happens, because you wake up in the middle of your night and you're like, shit, like, it didn't make it through, like, need to pee. And then part of you is just like, maybe I can just make myself fall back asleep.
Sure.
And then it works the first time, and the second time you're just in pain.
Although you're probably at the advantage, because there's a lot of times where you're not quite sure how absorbable the ground is, and you urinate out of your dick flap, and you step in a puddle the next day.
Well, I didn't say I ran far from the tent, so I understand that.
So you still know the puddle situation.
Yeah, and then you're just watching it, and you're like, no.
Good. I really like that you were so opposed to the poop episode, but you're all in on pee. I like that about you.
Is that maybe like top three things you like about me?
That I pee? I'm going to go with number one. And like, it's pretty much the only thing on the list at this point.
Perfect.
Cool. The next one on the list is the tarp tent notch. I've actually seen quite a few of these. I've never used it myself, also known as the Henry Shire brand. But it is a one person tent, I believe, 1.7 pounds. It's $285. So it's a good price point for what it is, and especially for the weight. It is a trekking pole tent, and the few people that I know that have used it have very good things to say about it. Next on the list is the Big Agnes Copper Spur. So in the last couple of years, they released the HV models, the high volume models, which gives a lot more headroom, which I think was a common complaint that they were getting, but it also added some weight. I'm actually going to go out on the limb and say that I think the Tiger Wall, if you know, there's not any glaring flaws with it, that it'll end up surpassing the Copper Spur in terms of popularity, just because it's so much lighter. So the Copper Spur UL2 is 2.8 pounds for its minimum trail weight, whereas the Tiger Wall, same size, is 2.2 pounds.
You just said 2.2 pounds twice.
Nope. First one was 2.8.
Did you?
Yep. Our guest was listening.
My ears aren't working.
You're fired.
Well, the Tiger Wall is also cheaper by $50 as well.
There you go. The one thing worth noting is that the Tiger Wall is not a complete freestanding tent. You do need stakes to get the headspace complete, to get all the volume on the inside. So I guess it makes it semi-freestanding. However, you know, it's not, to get two stakes in is not what I would say is a big deal. Next on the list is the MLD Solomid. Do you guys have any experience with this?
No, but it looks kind of nice.
I mean, mm-hmm. it's like
your standard, like what you would picture a tent is.
It's a pyramid style tent, 12.5 ounces, one person, trekking pole, $255. So very light, cheap price point.
I will say though, those pyramid ones that only have one trekking pole, if you try to sit up in them, like you've got limited space and it's a bit frustrating when you just like want some headroom, or when it's raining and like the tent's really close to your head.
Certainly. Yeah. I used the Z-Pack Solplex on the PCT last year, which is a very good tent, but also very small. It's one of those things where you're making a compromise. Next on the list is actually what you'll be using, it sounds like, is the Big Agnes Fly Creek 2. Are you using the one or the two?
The one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you using the regular or the platinum?
The regular.
Yeah. Platinum's expensive as shit.
Yeah. Right. He's an experticity too. So
yeah,
it just sounds too fancy for hiking.
Yeah, it's a very good tent, and it became, I think, Big Agnes's probably most popular through hiking tent just because of how light it is, and this one's no exception. The minimum trail weight is 1.9 pounds, comes in at $350, but. You know, like the Tiger Wall, it is also semi-freestanding, but the stakes go in at the feet. There have been times where I don't even stake it in if it's not going to be a windy night. And like, you know, the sidewalls kind of collapse at your feet. Not that big of a deal.
No, and especially, I'm a short guy too, so it never really bothered me. I know if you're like a taller person, it might.
What percentage of time would you say you stake out the foot?
I guess it just depends. If there's a place to stake, I do it. And yeah. If not, I don't really worry about it.
A lot of times it's just up to how tired I am.
That's true.
Like if I roll into camp at 10 and I'm just dead to the world, I'll get the pole up. And if I don't think it's going to rain, I don't even bother with it.
Just barely crawl in.
Just enough to keep the bugs off me.
Right.
Next up is another popular one is REI Quarter Dome. I think this one's popular. Obviously, it's a good design, but it's also pretty cheap. And I think REI puts it on sale quite often. I think the MSRP is listed here at $279. Another classic tent. Next on the list is what Jabba used on the PCT. You use the one also?
Oh,
I actually think someone sent in a question about this, wanting to know how I think you liked it. So,
it was great. I don't know how, like, I can't remember if I mentioned this on a podcast yet or not, but I had bought it, when I started hiking with my friend. Well, I had bought it and I started hiking with a friend. Mm-hmm. And we had decided to share a tent because we didn't really know that we would want personal space or anything like that. And I had compared a few tents before I got this one. And then I decided, ooh, I really want Gossamer Gear's the one. Brought it on trail. Hadn't tested it out at all because I didn't prep anything. And we got to Hauser Canyon the first night and I set it up and she's just standing there looking at it. And she was like, this is not a two-person tent. And I was like, no, it's a two-person tent. She's like, no, it's not a two-person. I was like, no, it's definitely a two-person tent. And she just like looks at me. She's like, what's it called? And I was like, the one. And she was like, say that again. And I was like, the one, like it's the one you need. And she just like, and Hauser Canyon just screams. She's like, it's the one because it's one person. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. On that note, I think they now, either they're in the process of finishing it or it's out, the two.
But you know it's spacious because we both slept in it. Until she got a new tent.
So I've used it before. I've actually used the one just for a couple nights. And I was impressed with it. It definitely has a lot of... It's bigger than the Solplex, for sure.
It's a two-person tent if you like to cuddle.
I don't.
Oh.
So it's a one-person tent.
Heads up.
Fun fact.
Now you all know. Zach hates cuddling.
Did you end up using that the length of the trail?
Yeah.
How often did you cowboy camp? Cowgirl camp?
Most of the desert.
Next on the list is a tent that I've actually used quite a bit is the Nemo Hornet One Person Elite, which is the akin to the Platinum of the Big Agnes. It's just the lighter weight materials. It is a little bit pricier for a one person tent. It's $450, but if you've got money to spend and you want a freestanding tent, again, this is another one of those semi freestanding tents that's easy to set up and lightweight. The minimum trail weight on this one is 1.7 pounds. I definitely recommend this. And the reason I actually like it better than the Fly Creek is it has the side entry. So it kind of combines all of the best aspects aside from the fact that it is a little bit pricey. But for the probably dozen, maybe 20 times I've used it, it's done a good job in tumultuous weather.
Saw a few on trail and it looked like they were having zero problems.
Yeah.
I didn't really know anyone personally that had one.
For sure. Nemo is definitely in the same ballpark as Big Agnes. You can't go wrong with either companies. And the last one on the list is the Z-Pack Solplex, which I've talked plenty about.
It's funny because this is the one I was actually going to get.
The Solplex? Why didn't you end up getting it?
Because it's so freaking expensive.
$555. It is pricey. Z-Packs is definitely a premier brand.
Yeah.
For sure.
That was the only, because like it only weighs 15.5 ounces.
It's less than a pound. That was the apple of my eye with this tent for sure.
Exactly. Well.
You know, and like I said, it's not, if you're looking for the luxuries of a shelter, this is not it. It's a single wall, so it gets a little bit steamier than some of the other options.
Ooh, steamy.
It's not the biggest tent, but for under a pound, it did an excellent job. Yeah, I think the big true knock against it is that it's not going to be affordable for a lot of thru hikers.
Yeah, most of us don't have that kind of money.
Yeah. But keep an eye on their sales, because I think they do some pretty good sales around the holiday season. Okay, so let's check to see if we got any questions from our peeps.
Oh, okay. I know I got a message. 72 Chicken Wing says, tell Ball Flap hi.
Tell him I said I love him.
Ask Zach if he hiked the AT.
You know, fun fact, actually, I did hike the AT.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Zach, don't lie to us like that.
I'm so glad that someone asked, because I feel like I haven't had a chance to really talk about this very much. But yeah, in 2011, I hiked. It's called the Appalachian Trail.
I have this theory that this is all a hoax. Yeah. You actually didn't hike.
Didn't you write a book about that or something? I may have heard that.
So, so have you heard of the book Wild?
Oh, you know, I have heard of the Wild. I saw the movie.
Yeah. Great. So I plagiarized the movie. I haven't read the book, but I plagiarized. So I'm Reese Witherspoon.
And then you stole your cover design from the Yellow Pages.
I just made them a little bit more yellow, so no one would be onto me.
Right.
And then I did actually summit Katahdin, because otherwise I wouldn't have a cover for the book. But
yeah, so is that you on the cover?
It is.
Wow, you're full of yourself.
I mean, funny story. That was the cover that my parents were strongly pushing me toward. It was the last thing I wanted to do, but all the ideas that I submitted, the designs came back looking not very good. I can put it actually.
So all of your own ideas.
Were not
came
good.
Back and ended up being complete shit.
I know that they were not good, because I ended up going with a picture of myself.
Yeah,
which
that's
is not
rock bottom.
But the way that I improved upon this was I just made it a silhouette, so I could remove all of my features, really anything that would distinguish me from anybody else, aside from the beard, which I'm very proud of. It's very red, but in the cover of the book, it's pretty black because it's a silhouette. We got a question from RJ.Jefferson. Asking if there's going to be retaliation for the hippo picture.
Oh,
the one that you posted on Instagram.
Not post this photo.
So let's give a little bit of context for people that aren't following us on Instagram. So Chance went into the account and posted what I'd say is a disturbing video of of a hippo climbing out of a water source and then just spraying incredible diarrhea for a good 15 seconds straight with a pretty comical sounding fart to go along with it.
I went to go to bed that night and I was like, I'll just have one last scroll through social media. And I see this picture and it's just this
video,
hippo.
Again.
Video. Sorry, I didn't watch the whole thing.
How could you not?
I only watched a little bit, enough for it to be a picture.
Enough to know. And
a moving picture.
Yeah, no, Zach had totally set me up. And will there be retaliation?
So I think I should retaliate, because it was really rude the way that you made it seem like I posted the hippos.
There will definitely be retaliation.
Comical amounts of diarrhea. So if you're not following us on Instagram at Backpacker Radio,
then you won't get our jokes.
That, and you'll be missing out on a truly disturbing video that Chance posted.
Image war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, it's called a video. So when there's a lot of images put together and then you add in sound, back in like the mid 20th century, they called them talkies. I think more colloquially, they call them videos. So the fun fact of the day that when you put a lot of pictures together,
the more you know, Chance.
And to think I'm in charge of editing one of these things.
Right. Yeah. Can't wait to see how that turns out.
It's complete garbage. Should we get into our favorite part of the show?
We should.
Yes.
Although I'm going to go ahead and say, I don't think we should strong arm our guest into 5-starring.
Oh, 100%. What do you mean?
I think we have to retire it after Hey Girl, because it really can only be downhill from there.
No way. That's my favorite part of the show.
Okay, fair enough.
Are you guys going to strong arm me to do something?
No.
Hmm.
Why would you think that?
Because you're already trying to strong arm me with that backpack.
All right. I will.
She drives a hard bargain.
He's about to hike the AT with no pack.
I mean, he's doing it with no shoes.
Do it with no pack.
Exactly.
I'll start us off. Exploring with Lauren says, best of the best. I absolutely love this podcast. I've been obsessively dreaming of hiking a long trail and have read basically every book about the AT and PCT. It's great to hear all the different stories from thru-hikers. Also, I'm pretty sure Chance and I would be BFFs. Love that both hosts have hiked the PCT. Maybe one of them will venture out to the AT one day. I think me and Lauren would be BFFs. I just went and followed her on Instagram, and then Zach watched her story. So we've stalked you. And yeah, I got really close to hiking the AT one day soon, but
yeah, maybe one of you guys will do it at some point.
Who watched your story?
Zach.
I I watch. How is that even possible?
Zach is testing me today, and I'm really practicing patience.
Should introduce you to meditation because I can sense your internal combustion is just.
I'm doing great.
It's turning your hair redder.
Am I glowing?
You're gonna get your own Crayola color.
Read your review.
I mean, there's so many five stars to choose from. How do you decide?
All right.
Light Bikes writes, good stuff. These guys get it on all levels.
Yes.
A pro guided tour of conversation through all the topics you may or may not have known that you wanted to hear. Thanks to Badger and Chance, I enjoy the trail and its surroundings more wherever I find myself. Kick back and enjoy.
Oh, that was so good. So this is our favorite part of the show, at least mine.
I was going to let him off the hook.
I'm not.
I think Hey Girl set a bar that's too high to be reached by future guests. But if you're Ballflap is your buddy, you hike the trail with him. If you want to do this to him, I'll let you do it.
Oh, no, okay. I'm scared.
This is the part of our show where we make the guest give us a 5-star review in person. So go on and rate your experience with us and tell us how great we were.
Okay.
It has to start with, you are getting 5 stars because.
Okay.
But you can give us any amount of stars.
Yeah, they can be at or above 5.
They can be at or above 5.
Yes.
Okay.
Any number. Any number that you want as long as it's 5.
Okay. Right.
Wow. 5 stars. These two redheads sure know how to hike. One day, maybe I can do as well as Zach when he hiked the AT. Hopefully soon. Chance, get out there. Beautiful podcast.
When he said two redheads, I actually had a flashback when I was driving to work the other morning. Don't know why these are the things I think about when I'm driving to work, but I was thinking about our conversation about how we were the Cinnamon Connection, and then we turned it into the Turmeric Team.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, like that could be like if we were superheroes. Like
I like Cinnamon
our
Connection.
Our superhero name. Like we're Cinnamon Connection by day, but then when we go out and crime fight at night, we're the Turmeric Team.
Interesting. But why are we a connection at all during the day if we're not actually fighting crime? This is just because we're buddies palling around. Uh-huh. Okay.
Just pals.
I would like to point out the fact that when I said that we were the Turmeric Team, that wouldn't work because we're not a team.
Yeah. Mm. Well, not all superheroes get along.
Ooh, now you're backtracking on your previous statement.
Shit. Listen, it was just a thought.
Caught you in your web of lies, Charles.
Got her.
It was just a thought.
Yeah. Ballflap, where can people find you on the social medias?
You can find me at Elliot Schaefer on Instagram, and that's pretty much it.
Woohoo!
We are at Backpacker Radio on Instagram. We are at Backpacker Pod on Twitter. We are searchable on Facebook. I should learn the URL for the Facebook because I legit have
If you can't, just type in Backpacker Radio on Facebook. You'll find us.
If you can't find us on Facebook,
then we're doing something wrong.
Well, there's a good chance that you are in our older demographic, and let it be known that we appreciate you.
You are
or check your search bar because you might have accidentally typed in MySpace.
This is true. Yes. I do it all the time.
Yeah.
Me personally, I am ZR Davis on Instagram and Twitter. Chance?
I am Juliana_Chauncey on Instagram and Juliana Chauncey on YouTube.
And quick fun fact, we actually just uploaded a video to the Trex YouTube today from mine and Jabba's hike where so we were hiking with another gentleman. His chill name was The Director. Very funny Australian guy. He got the name actually largely because of this video. So he's hiking with a Z-Pax carbon fiber staff and he gets the idea. He's like, because Jabba tries to portray himself as a pretty macho guy. He goes, hey, Jabba, I bet you couldn't break this carbon fiber staff. He goes, I could definitely break this. So it sets the stage for our first video directed by The Director, where he, standing off screen, throws his Cuban carbon fiber staff to Jabba, catches it while still maintaining eye contact with the video camera. He goes, I'm going to break this staff. Boom, snaps it over his knee. Snaps like a twig. The thing snaps like a twig. And me and the director just lose it. It's a very funny video. If you want to check it out, just Google YouTube, The Trek. You'll find our channel. It's one of our more recent videos.
I bet he'll link to it in the show notes, too.
I can do that. We have show notes. And that's it. Thanks for listening, everyone. That was episode 10. We'll be back here in a couple of weeks. Between then, we're going to be doing our bonus episode. I'm not even sure if I'll be getting this out before the bonus episode. So I don't
know. I feel like this will be irrelevant by the time it goes out.
Maybe we should talk like the bonus episode has already been recorded, even though it hasn't, and we can reflect on it. Like, remember that thing that you said during the bonus episode?
Oh, like Hello from the Future.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember the show notes you sent me. They were great.
How was the bonus episode,
That
Zach?
Was priceless.
How do you think we did?
I'm going to say that you did poorly.
Probably.
And I did equally as poorly.
Yeah. So, you know, I can probably guess the same. Does that mean that we can see into the future?
I think we have a crystal ball. That's also part of our cinnamon connection and turmeric team powers.
Oh, so you just admitted that we're a team.
I was the one that said it from the get-go, and then you shot me down. So.
Oh, so you're just scorned.
Yes, that's what happened. Again, if you want to support the show, you can do so by going to patreon.com/backpackerradio.
Get in on our next bonus episode if you missed this last one.
That's right. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. Happy hiking.
Bye.